Welcome to Alumni Live, the podcast. These are conversations with Grand Valley State University film and video graduates about the industry, the film video major, and alumni profiles.
Welcome back to the podcast. I'm Caroline Hamilton, and I'm a fourth year at GVSU. And today I'm here talking with Kyle Machime and Caitlin Shaw about getting involved on campus. We're going to be talking a little bit about clubs, on-campus employment, and kind of anything else you can do on campus to get experience. So for starters, if you guys want to introduce yourself.
Hi, everyone. My name is Caitlin Shaw. I am a third year here at GVSU. I've been involved with a couple of film and video related things. I say yes to way too many things, which has led me to a lot of really cool groups of people. As far as clubs go, I've been a member of and also on the e-board for two clubs, Women in Cinema Club and Continuous Screenwriting Club here on campus. And work-wise, I've worked at both The Bridge and currently I work at WGBU in the downtown campus.
And then, my name is Kyle Machime. I am a former film and video graduate from the year 2020. Basically, since then, I went on and get a master's in education technology at GVSU, basically focusing on educational video. And then immediately after that, I started working at GVSU at a place called The Bridge, which is a place where we collaborate with student workers, usually film majors, to create educational video content for professors all across the university to use. So I have the experiences of being a former student, someone who's involved a lot in extracurricular activities, and now an employer somehow here at the university.
Very cool. And I'm also involved with Caitlin on the Women in Cinema Club and also Continuous Scriptwriting Club. I also have been working at The Bridge for a little bit now and Production Support Resources, the equipment room. But let's start with clubs. There's quite a few film clubs on campus that come and go, and students are open to start their own clubs at any point. But let's start with GVTV. So Kyle, do you want to talk about that?
Absolutely. So I spent all 4 years as an undergrad in film and video at GVTV at Grand Valley Television. I cannot speak whether you are listening to this now or in the future. I cannot speak to the current status of GVTV, of the current quality of GVTV. I don't know. I've been out of the university for a while, but I know that it has ebbed and flowed in terms of how present it's been, how active it's been. The pandemic certainly smashed it down quite a bit as everything went remote right as I was leaving. But what I can say is that I view the 4 years that I spent as an undergrad in film and video, the education that I received, I would say half of it with regards to film was my actual film classes. The other half was the time that I spent in GVTV. And that's just because you just need to have the time to be able to be around like-minded individuals, people who want to create things. And you go out with the resources that GVTV provided us, which was a lot of film equipment, a lot of physical spaces to record, and a lot of cameras and microphones and lighting and ways to fail, essentially. I always recommend people fail faster as much as possible. Make the bad short films, make the bad videos as soon as you can, because then you know, oopsie daisy, we recorded all day and we have no audio. That's the last time you're probably going to do that. Oopsie daisy, the lens cap was on or the focus was out, or we don't actually understand how to not corrupt the video files once we get them onto the computer. The sooner you do that, the better of a video creator you are going to be. And places like GVTV are places where you're going to be able to experiment. You're also going to have those opportunities in the class, but ultimately, you know, those can ebb and flow. It depends on what your schedule is semester to semester. Maybe you've backlogged a lot of those production classes and you're starting off with a lot of the theory classes. I think first semester freshman, second semester freshman, as soon as possible, get involved into something like GVTV. And regardless of what GVTV is at the moment you're listening to this, find other people who outside of the classroom want to create things. And I can really only recommend that again and again, because I know that I made four times the amount of stuff in GVTV than what I made in my classes. And every time I made something, I learned a little bit more along the way. So when I started, I walked in, it was a big room. I was very scared as a freshman. And the real truth of the matter, I just told you how important it is to do GVTV as soon as possible. I went to the first meeting and then I didn't go to a single meeting for the rest of the first semester. I wanted to hang out. I wanted to do college. I was intimidated by all these people and it was strange. And it was only at the start of my second semester when I got an email, because I was still on their email list, and said, hey, we're trying to create the show called Catastrophe and we'd like people to join on. And I just showed up. And because I showed up, they said, hey, do you want to direct an episode? I said, what's the show? And they're like, yeah, it's going to be like The Office and also Arrested Development and three other things. And it's called Catastrophe. We were all young and we were all trying to do things. We all wanted to make something big and grand and epic. We said, we're going to make 10 episodes in a single semester. And each episode is going to be 21 minutes long. And they're all going to be like with multiple characters and scripts and all of these different things. Yeah, we didn't even do a fraction of that because we were really just overwhelming ourselves and we flew too close to the sun way too quickly and we burned out very fast. But through the rubble of that, I said, okay, I need to ditch this and find something else. And I found something called Late Night Brew, which is, I think, a much better model, which was basically like, we're going to do a late night comedy talk show, sitcom sketch thing. And it was basically just like, hey, it's just going to be a collection of shorts. So that means like you can come in and be like, I have an idea, and then you go and shoot it. And then you have your little 3-minute thing, and then it was bad. But then you come back a few weeks later and be like, hey, I made another one. This one's not bad. And you do that again and again. And that was a really great experience. And I did that first with Late Night Brew. And then I started getting on the e-board, basically because they said, hey, we have an e-board open and we need someone to do it. And that's the thing. And Caitlin's probably going to tell you too. Half of the times that you have opportunities, it's just because someone says, we need someone to do it. And no one's raising their hand. And you might not know how to do it. I started on e-board as a public relations specialist. I didn't know anything about PR. I just said, I want to do things. And then I faked it until I made it. And then the next year I was president. Somehow that happens. And so then I was president of GBTV and I felt very proud of my time there. We made a lot of stuff, very few of it good. But I was just really happy of the idea, again, of like, I want as many people here utilizing these resources, getting to know other people, because that's the other thing. Is like, sometimes you only meet these film majors that you're with in the classes you're in, and that's not enough time to build bonds, build connections. This is the network that you're building for any of your projects that you want to do. If you want to do a senior thesis your senior year, you're going to spend the 3 years leading up to it knowing people and working on their stuff and saying, hey, I'm going to work on your thing and you're going to work on mine. And that's like the gift economy of your labor being something very valuable and being very appreciative when someone else gives it to you. And so whether that be GVTV or anything else, it really is finding those avenues to connect with as many people as possible and finding the people you gel with the most and spending more time with those people and doing that as soon as you can.
That kind of transitions, I think, into women's cinema with what you said about just volunteering to be on the board. Me and Caitlin can both probably attest to this, but Women in Cinema came out of the pandemic of wanting to create a space for women and non-binary students who are the minority in the film industry. And so we wanted to create a space where those people could come together and create a safe space. Once the students who were on the e-board originally graduated, I ended up just randomly stepping up because I didn't want the club to go away. And Caitlin also did that. So Caitlin, I will throw it to you to talk about Women in Cinema.
Women in Cinema was a club I always knew I wanted to be a part of from when I first saw them at Campus Life Night. For a little bit of context about me, like I always knew I wanted to do something creative, but I didn't know what. And like my eureka moment was I saw Ava DuVernay giving like an interview on being a director. And I'm like, that's an option. Cause like seeing is believing. And there's just not as many representations both on and off screen of women in film. I really wanted this space where you can cultivate relationships with other women and non-binary people in film and have that like common understanding. And I really loved all my years at the club. I've been here since my first week when I was a freshman all the way up till now. We do a lot of really fun things. We do equipment demos. We do writing exercises. We have guest speakers come in, which is really cool. And probably my favorite part of Women in Cinema Club is the mentorship program. So basically, it's not required or anything. It's an optional thing you can do. But if you want to, you can sign up for the mentorship program. And they pair you up with a female or non-binary alumni who's graduated in the past. And it can be really nice to just have someone to talk to and be like, oh, like my project's not going well. Or like I'm really stuck on this script. And like they've been there and they can like relate to you and they can help you through it. But I really love Women in Cinema Club. It's a great way, like Kyle said, it's a great way to like go out there and make connections and get close to people you might not have time to or may not be in the same classes with. Because I feel like in the major, you very much have your cohort. People tend to move through the same level classes at the same time. So I've really appreciated how it's allowed me to meet all different types of people. And I have people I met who are on my thesis now because of the relationships I formed. So everyone should join Women in Cinema, in my opinion.
Yeah, and I can also say that the mentorship program is definitely very beneficial. And our alumni have done some amazing things, as I'm sure you can hear in other episodes of this podcast. I had a mentor 1 year who she was the location manager for the Five Nights at Freddy's movie. I also had a mentor who's did VFX on Fallout, the new TV show for Amazon. So there's some pretty amazing alumni from the school and people who are more than willing and wanting to help students make it where they want to go.
And I'll even add on to that. I want to really emphasize this idea. People love being a mentor. They love the idea of being a mentor. And if you give them that opportunity of saying, hey, I'm seeking a mentor and you seem really cool and I would love to just have a couple chats with you, 90% of people are going to say yes. Because who doesn't like the idea of someone looking up to them and wanting to have hear your wisdom and your advice? I will say that just because 90% of people will say yes doesn't mean 90% of people should say yes. Some people just don't have the right capacity. So you might have a bad mentor experience where you're like, I'm trying to connect with this person and they're not actually giving me any time and they seem like really scattered brain. So it is like mindful of that process.
Absolutely. And this industry, as you will hear so many times, is 100% built on connections. And like you said, people are more than willing to talk to you a lot of the time. I've reached out cold to people through the Writers Guild websites and other websites, and they're more than willing to mentor you and talk to you and just get to know you and help you as you move forward in your careers. Highly recommend getting involved in mentorship. So let's move on to Continuous Scriptwriting Club then, which I'm also involved in. I got asked by one of my professors who is our faculty advisor, and I love script writing, but I'm a little more introverted, but I love script writing and I love talking about writing. And so I said yes. Also, like Caitlin said, I can't say no to people. And so with Continuous, our idea is we just want to be in a writer's room format almost. Of we're all just sitting there. We all love writing. We all want to collaborate and learn from each other and just try to make the best projects we can. So we do table reads. We do writing exercises together, all sorts of stuff. We have guest speakers sometimes too. Actually, in a couple weeks from when we're doing this podcast, we're having a writer from LA come in. His name's Alex Sherman, and he was on the show Our Flag Means Death on HBO. We really try to connect everyone interested in writing with that as much as possible. And Caitlin, if there's anything else you want to add to that.
Can I tell the story as I remember it of how Continuous got started? Because I just find it like very funny and like emblematic of how a lot of clubs start on campus. It was Women in Cinema had like a guest speaker who was there for a week, and it was open to like all students, not just women and non-binary people. And the guest speaker was talking about how like you need to like go out there and make stuff and just go for it. And this club is great, starts more clubs. And she starts listing off clubs. And I think she mentioned the writing club. And it was you, me, and John, who's also on eBoard right now. We're all right next to each other. And you were like, yeah, let's start a writing club. And I'm like, why not? And John's, I'll be on it. And it just was like, boom, it happened right then and there. I think starting a club can be a lot scarier than some people think it is, but it's really like you just got to get four people to say, yeah, I'll show up once every other week. So I really encourage people, get involved, go for eBoard. Depending on the club, it can really be as involved or as uninvolved as you want it to be, but it's a really great way to make connections and then leave something that can help other people. That's one thing I love about Continuous is that we do a lot of table reads, which allows people to grow their craft. And like fiction one and two, you only have so many opportunities for a table read, and it gets you new perspectives. And especially like the younger students who don't really get into script writing until the higher level classes, it gives them a chance to get feedback and get creative. And also we have some members at the club who are not film majors who always bring an interesting new perspective. So I really love Continuous. It's a very interesting group. We're weird people, but that's what makes life interesting.
That's what's interesting is I still follow the GBTV Instagram, and then they occasionally post and they're like, hey, here's our eBoard for this year. And I was looking, and the president of GBTV right now is a computer science major. And I'm like, oh, that never had anyone who was a non-film or at least like the multimedia journalism pathway who was in the program, let alone leading the program. And so it's so cool to know that, like, oh yeah, anyone can get together. A lot of people end up really liking filmmaking and video making, not just the film majors. Finding community outside of that can be really rewarding too.
Also going off of that, with Caitlin said about clubs and just doing whatever, I do want to say that for me as a person, clubs were very daunting because it's a group of people you've never met before. You have a similar interest, but there's something scary about that, at least for me. And the one thing I've really learned and appreciated about clubs, especially here, is you can make them whatever you want them to be. They don't have to be your casual club format where someone stands in front is just lecturing you with a PowerPoint. With Women in Cinema and Continuous, we've really tried to make it a group thing where we all just sit down in a circle and just talk. Why do you guys think it's beneficial to be involved in clubs? What advice would you give to people interested in joining clubs or nervous about joining them?
I would say, like, just go for it. Like, I knew someone freshman year who was like, I never signed up for clubs. And I've heard so many people say that not going to clubs was their biggest regret, not doing it sooner. And I'm so grateful that I did, because it just gets you to know people and gets you connections. And especially like coming out as a freshman, it can be really scary. You don't know a lot of people, but you're not going to start meeting people by sitting in your dorm room all day. So like go out, make connections, learn new things. And I just feel like it helps you grow so much as a person just to put yourself out there with this group of people and try to make something.
Yeah, listen, when I was doing my 4 years at film program at GVSU, like there was a certain level of, I want to do the things that excite me and are passionate. And also I kind of want to like, not game the system, not to be cynical about it, but I want to take as much of this opportunity as I can. The 4 years, I'm spending a lot of money to be here. I might as well do as much as I can to prepare myself for what next phase of my life. So I was a sophomore. I was a first semester of my sophomore year. And we had a theory professor before Spencer Everhart. Her name was Toni Perrine. And I did moderately okay in her class, writing papers about American history with film and world history with film. And she came up to me and she said, "Hey, Kyle, so we have this thing called synesthesia. And it's basically a film journal. And we basically, all we do is we publish student essays that they write in class and we publish them out for the world to see as an academic professional journal." And I said, "That's pretty cool. You want me to be a part of it?" And she said, "Actually, everyone's graduating. And so we need someone to be running the club." And I was just a sophomore. And I said, "Okay, what does that mean?" And she's like, "You'll figure it out, but I think you'd do fine." And so I was very fortunate that she came to me and she felt that I was capable enough. But here's the thing, I didn't know what I was doing and I didn't know what the synesthesia was and how to run it. And so next semester, I was running the whole thing. And part of it was because I was like interested in the challenge. I thought this would be fun. Another part was me was just being like, I don't know, this is a thing to put on a resume and or show that I'm capable of these things. I ended up having a great time and it was cool to meet other people. And I didn't end up having to do really any writing. I just had to run a website because the synesthesia is hosted on a website. So I had to learn a little bit of HTML and I watched some YouTube videos to do that. What all of this is to say is that after I graduated, if you go to Synesthesia's site, you can see it has 250,000 downloads. That's a really impressive number of worldwide downloads. When I was applying to a nonprofit part-time internship, they were saying, "We need someone who can write daily email newsletters. Do you have any writing experience?" And I said, "I'm so glad you asked. I was editor-in-chief of this whole site, and I was reviewing." In truth, I wasn't doing much writing. I was just running a website. And they said, "Oh, that's great." And then they were like, "But we also need someone who can do a little bit of HTML and web design." And I said, "I'm so glad you asked. I learned how to do it on this journal." So you find the opportunities as long as you're just willing to raise your hand and say, "I don't know how to do that, but I'm more than happy to learn." And everything can cascade down from that. And you feel more confident in yourself because you figure out things along the way and you're like, "Oh, I guess I did that." The imposter syndrome's kind of fading away. And I realize that there are more things in this world that I can do that I'm capable of doing and that I deserve to be able to do.
Yeah, it really doesn't take much to join eBoard, which is not to say like just sign up and like not be ready for the commitment, because it is a commitment. In Women in Cinema Club, like my first semester, the treasurer graduated and they needed a new person. And I'm like, "Why not?" And then they're like, "You're hired." And I'm like, "I have no clue what a treasurer does, but I'm going to figure it out." And that's the beauty of these clubs. It's like a much lower pressure situation than when you're out in the real world in your career. So just go make mistakes, try things. And even if you don't succeed, you learn.
This is the time to take risks. So let's talk about on-campus employment.
This is fun because I get to chat with CK and Caitlin, both of whom have been employed and are employed at our Bridge studio. And me and a colleague, Noah Campbell, also a film and video alumni, oversee it. And we are the supervisors, the managers. And every year we have about 9 film majors who we are able to have part-time who come in. And it's a really wonderful experience. I mean, Caitlin, CK, did you have a good time? Are you having a good time?
Yeah, I really enjoyed my time at the Bridge. I worked there for about a year and a half. And that was like my first real film job in college. And I really appreciated all the technical stuff I learned. I learned how to use a light board. I became very Premiere Pro and After Effects savvy. And that has served me very well in like my 400, 300 level classes to be able to edit quickly. And also just learning how to work with clients, because professors come in and they don't always know what you want. And you have to learn how to kind of walk them through the process. I really appreciate everything the Bridge taught me about client work and just the workflow of a professional job in this industry.
And Caitlin, I'm sure you can agree, 99% of the professors we have as clients, they're wonderful, they're great. Sometimes, though, a professor can be a little mean. And that it can be in and of itself its own rewarding experience, because you're like, "Oh, this is client work." Sometimes you're like hired to do something and then the person who's asking you to do it maybe isn't treating you with the most amount of respect. And it's figuring out that balance. Like, I still respect myself and I need to make sure this relationship is maintaining that. But also you're getting that little bit of exposure of someone who might be difficult to work with, which can be rewarding.
I had one professor once who came in and was like, "All righty, I'll sit and watch you edit." And I'm sitting here, "No, you're not going to look over my shoulder for 2 hours," but you can't say that. So I was like, "Oh, you can if you want, but I want to be respectful of your time. So what if I just walk you through the process and you leave me some notes?" And she was like, "Oh, okay, that's perfect." I definitely learned a lot about how to professionally and respectfully work through tricky situations.
Yeah, I've only been working there a couple months. I started at the in August of my senior year. So I don't know that I've done a ton, but it's definitely an experience to client work and also like a customer service thing that I've never really experienced before. I've been working in the equipment room since my freshman year. And so it was a new thing to not just be like, all right, here's your equipment, bye. Like I actually have to take feedback and try to make things the way they want them and also something that's quality and they can use. So that's been super cool. And also just becoming a better editor, you just get to learn and Google and try things you've never tried before. So it's definitely a cool experience.
And which it's interesting for the two of you now working in this new kind of version of the Bridge. When I was a student worker, I also worked at the Bridge. We used to be called the Digital Studio back then. And I will tell you, I worked 15, 17 hours a week for 3 semesters straight. And I want to say I probably worked on 2 video projects that entire time. We just didn't really have the client base yet. We were still trying to figure out what we were and no one really knew who we were. So I spent most of that time doing homework and watching Netflix. And it's interesting now that we're at a point where we're all like, we're trying to be intentional about saying we want to give as many projects as possible to the students who come in here. We want them to feel like they're getting value while also not adding on that huge labor and load and mental stress of being like, I have 10 things I need to do as a student and also deal with my own mental health. And so trying to find that balance between it being a rewarding experience and being a challenging experience. The biggest regret that I have going through my undergrad experience is that I applied a lot of times. And I like to think that I was like, I was president of GVTV and I was editor-in-chief of Synesthesia. I'm like, I'm doing pretty good. I was rejected every time from promotions office. And it hit like a gut punch every time. I even applied my senior year. They were like, we only have one opening this year and it's just for makeup. And I said, I'll figure it out. I'll learn. And they're like, have you ever done makeup before? And I said, no. And they're like, then we're not hiring you, Kyle. But I knew I wanted to work there for a number of reasons. One, I knew that Bobby Nielsen, who currently runs it, also a GVSU film and video alumni, it really has a high standard of quality, really is making high quality content. What the promotions office is to my understanding, is that if you're maybe working at the university, probably as a staff member or faculty or whatever, you might say, oh, we need a video to promote an event or to educate about an event. We need something high quality. They'll go and they'll hire the promotions office to say, we need a high quality video about like Prez Ball that's coming up. We need a really cool commercial that's going to be multi-hundreds of thousands of dollars budget type dealio. And that is one of the best ways on campus to be like, I am part of a film crew. I'm part of an understanding of the professional need. And I never really got to do that. GVTV got me a little close when I was working at Digital Studio Bridge, not really. And I was always looking for that opportunity on campus to be like, no, we are professionally making high quality stuff that then goes into your demo reel, that then you can show other people like, this is the cool stuff I've worked on. And so that is a really valuable experience. I know that University Communications is a similar deal. I think they have a lot less open slots available. That's another team that you can like be always on the lookout for, see if they're hiring. WGVU is a television station that's an extension of GVSU, but not fully. There's nothing academic about it. They're not doing classes or anything. They're entirely just like, oh, we just do local broadcast television. Sometimes they hire student workers there, and that's another great opportunity. You're really just looking for any chance and opportunity to get your foot in the door to say, someone has in the past hired me and paid me to do some type of media work. And then that way, when you get out of there to be like, hey, don't worry, I'm now a graduated student. I'm no longer a student. I'm now a professional in this world. Yes, other people have trusted me and have hired me and paid me to do this work. And that's why you should as well.
So I've been working at WGVU for a little over a year now. For those of you who don't know, WGVU is the local PBS station that's partnered with Grand Valley. It's in the downtown Pew campus. And I really have loved my time there. It's really something new every day you come in. Some days you come in and you edit little promo videos. Other days you do an in-studio shoot where you have fancy headsets and like the cameras up and you're like being told to give signals to the people on air. And then other times we like go out and do shoots in the community and we might be filming an elementary school releasing salmon for like an educational video. Or another day we might be going to a goat farm. Or another day we might be interviewing an artist about their sculptures and stuff like that. So I really appreciate how it's taken me out into the community. I've learned about so many places in Grand Rapids that I wouldn't have known before. And actually, one of those places, a short film I'm working on, might be using as a location now because I just saw it through that experience. And you learn a lot. Like I said, we do a lot of promotional video editing because we record the seasons of our shows for PBS and then we have to promote them on social media. Learning how to do an overarching. Because in the past, like at the Bridge, I had done maybe promotional stuff for one specific event, but now it's like you have a whole season of like a show and you have to make the promotions consistent through that. So I learned a lot from my time there.
You worked at The Bridge, and then you got hired to work at WGVU. We were very sad to see you go. But probably to a certain degree, when you were applying to WGVU, you were like, oh, yeah, I have experience. I've been also working at this other institution here. And then once you start working at WGVU, you're like, oh, they have a bit more money. They're making higher quality stuff. My demo reel is looking nicer. So it was like that. Not a lateral move. You were moving up in your professional capabilities.
Yeah, it's always every opportunity you have on campus, whether that's a club or a job, teaches you something which then helps you get the next thing. And that is one thing they talked to me about. It was actually a funny story how I had my interview there. They told me to come in for this interview and I got there. And Sky, who's our manager, was like, hey, I have a taping going on right now, so I'm going to interview you while the taping's going on. He was like, ready camera two. So tell me a little bit about your like video experience. All right, you move the camera a little bit to the left. Ready camera four. So like, hi for Dave. And that's just pretty emblematic of how shoots can go there. But yeah, they asked me about my previous experience, and The Bridge was definitely like the fact that I had been working on stuff consistently. This is why you got to go out and do that stuff, because even if you think, oh, I'm just making silly videos at a club or whatever, or just editing at this job, it does help, especially just seeing that like you have the initiative to go out and do things. So you really have to put yourself out there, because just taking that step will get you to the next step.
Yeah. And I will say I had a little bit of a different, I got into The Bridge a little bit later in my years here at GVSU, but I started in the equipment room, so production support resources. I started my second semester here, and I just wanted a film job because I knew I wanted to do something related to what I was studying, something that would give me a fresh start. And so I just applied, and they interviewed me, and I had no experience. I was a little bit afraid of cameras because I didn't want to break something, but I told them I wanted to learn and I wanted to get better and just do whatever I needed to do. And so they hired me, and I've been working there for a while now. I'm in their film and video lead too now. I work a lot with the professors and I meet lots of students and stuff. So it, even just starting with that, just getting to know your faculty and your the fellow students, and just take little steps, do what you need to do to get where you need to be.
We're taking a short break to tell you about the Dirk Koning Memorial Film and Video Scholarship. Here's Gretchen Vinich remembering Dirk Koning.
The Koning Scholarship enables students to get that kind of an education, to be a good filmmaker, to be able to express their voice, and to continue Dirk's dream.
For more information and to donate to the scholarship, visit the link in the description. Now back to the show.
So Kyle, you were a TA when you were here at GVSU. Do you want to talk a little bit about that?
Yeah, Suzanne just tapped me on the shoulder. Suzanne Zach, who I was in one of her courses, I don't actually remember which one, but I know that at one point I've been taking the initiative. I'd been doing a lot around the classes and around the extracurricular. And she said, hey, I'm looking for a TA. It's a paid gig. It's only 4 hours a week. You're just going to come in and be there. I didn't really know what I was doing, but I had been through Media One, so I guess I knew a little bit more than the students who were currently taking Media One. And it's just another opportunity for a number of reasons. One, you get to have your experiences of just being in front of people and having some position of, oh, I guess I do have some wisdom to impart, and feeling like that sense of responsibility that comes with it. Also, it can be really nice in that same way of the mentor thing, like you're meeting usually students who are a little bit younger than you. So that's really nice to make connections with people who are a little bit younger. Maybe they're going to be your PAs next year when you need some, hey, I'm making a thing and we need someone who's looking for experience. And then they're like a first year freshman. They're like, I have never been on a set before, so this is the perfect opportunity. And you get, of course, closer and connections to the faculty, to the professors, to the instructors, where you're building those connections, which can be very valuable. Suzanne gave me endless opportunities in my entire 4 years, and she gave me a couple recommendations to the promotions office. Not that they helped, and that's okay. They didn't. But it was nice to have someone in my corner who told me, hey, Kyle, did you know like this is opening? You should go for it, and I'll put in a good word for you. It's nice to have, it feels like someone at the university, someone who's been here for a while, any of the instructors, any of the professors who you're like, yeah, I'm building these kind of relationships with that are going to help me, especially as I need to start connecting with alumni and figuring out what the heck I'm going to do after I graduate. Being a TA was really rewarding. And I just stood there and I just watched as Suzanne did her magic. But if you ever have that opportunity, or if you want to just go up to someone and just say, hey, professor, I really think you've been great. Let me know if there's ever an opening for a TA, because I would love to do it. It's a really rewarding experience.
Yeah, I will also add on to that. I'll say to everyone, if you don't want to get involved with stuff, don't talk to Suzanne Zach, because Every ask for half the time, and I say this lovingly, half the time I talk to her, I leave. And I'm like, how did I just volunteer to do five things?
That's how it goes.
But that is the magic of Suzanne. So I would also say, if you want to get involved on campus work, especially and specifically, like, go talk to Suzanne. She is the person for that. She is all knowing and she knows everyone. So she can find something for you. And that's actually how I found out about WGBU. Is I went to Suzanne. I was like, hey, I think I'm ready for the next step in my filmmaking career. I don't have a car. What are some places I can get to that are nearby? And she's like, I think this place is perfect for you. I'm going to write you an email right now to this person. And I'm like, oh, okay. But then I left and speed redid my resume. So talk to Suzanne.
Kyle, I also had a very similar experience of how I became Suzanne's TA of last years. I visited her during office hours when I was in Media One. And then I just happened to end up in her office one day asking about internships. And she was just like, you want to be my TA next year? And I was like, okay. And yeah, you definitely just, you learn a lot just trying to adapt your plans to help different students at different levels and just meeting people where they're at. And also just watching Suzanne work with people and helping you build your leadership skills. I was terrible at demoing equipment in Premiere when I first started. And I've definitely, like, her cheerleading in the background has definitely helped me become more confident in my skills at this point. So yeah, definitely talk to Suzanne because she will get you all sorts of things and she will be your cheerleader. But also you may end up doing a bunch of extra things because it's so hard to say no to her. So kind of the last thing I'm going to talk about is doing projects outside of the classroom, independent projects. I know for myself, my end of my freshman year, I knew I wanted to be making things. I wasn't in the upper level fiction classes or anything like that. And I didn't really know anybody, but I wanted to work with people. And so I took some of my friends that I had met at PSR and I was like, hey, you guys want to make a movie? And so we proceeded to create kind of our own production company called Snack Studios. And then we ended up making a 13-minute short film for $200 within 6 months. And since then, we've tried to produce a short film every summer or every fall. And that has really just, like Kyle said about GVTV, the more you practice and just make bad movies, the more you learn and the quicker you can get into those good quality things. I don't know if you guys have anything you would like to add to that.
I think that's so awesome that you did that. And I wish I had done that. I mean, I've loved my time at GV. I don't have many regrets, but I think my only one is Media One. My first semester, I was just really bored because I had taken a couple of video classes in high school. I felt like I already knew this. And I was sitting here, should I even be in this major if this is all we're going to be doing? I already know this isn't engaging to me. And I wish, like, instead of just sitting in my own, like, frustration and being, like, upset about projects, I wish I had gone out and found people and done stuff. And I've heard that from a lot of other people, too, is I think people are scared at first when they first join the major because they don't know people. But put yourself out there. Say you want to make a thing and you'd be surprised how many people will be excited and willing to help you.
My 4 years that I spent, it became a reoccurring joke that I realized had been happening for many years, which is that eventually at some point, a group of people come together, they form a production company, and then they say what in my experience has been the death keel, which is, and we're going to make a feature film this summer. Every year, every time, they're like, we're going to make a feature. We're going to make a feature. We're going to make a feature. We sometimes have people in GVTV like, we're interested in making a feature. And I would always try and just shake them by the head and say, make a short, because the reason for that, the philosophy for that, it's not just like it's too big for you or anything like that. What it is that getting into a feature is such an intimidating, long, immense process, one that can be so demoralizing as you go on, because let's face it, if you don't have a lot of experience, your freeze feature is probably going to be pretty bad. And that's okay. That's the point of it, right? The point is to get from the beginning, the middle, and the end, and then have a moment of reflection of like, that was that whole process. Let's do it again and let's do it a little bit better. And the problem with making a feature is that you just extended that process so much longer to where you don't have that phase of just reflection like you would if it was a 13-minute short where you really go all out and you really put it all out there and you said, that was our 13 minutes. And sometimes it's amazing and sometimes it's terrible. But regardless, whew, afterwards, you're like, okay, great. Time to do that again from the beginning where we now all have a moment to breathe. And then we feel that energy and motivation starting to build up again as we're like, we're excited for the next thing. As much as possible, keep it short, keep it simple. CK, is that something that you're glad you did, like that 13 minutes?
Oh, 100%. I think if we had tried to go any longer, like that didn't even cross my mind. But if it had, I don't think it would have been as good as a learning experience as it was. Yeah, it was It was an interesting film. I wrote it and directed it and produced it. And then I was just like, all right, friends, let's make this. And it's pretty cheesy. I remember showing it to my parents and being like, it's okay. And my mom just pointed out in this really intense scene that there was just this blow up ghost in the background, just completely distracting her. So that's why production design is important. But totally, start small, take risks, do what you gotta do. But yeah, don't go big.
Yeah, I want to add on to what Kyle said. Probably the best piece of advice I ever got from a professor here at GV was, it is not a healthy or productive mindset to see like every single project I do has to be my magnum opus, has to be this big, giant, biggest movie to ever be, 10,000 extras, everything's on fire, it's underwater. He said instead, the way you should look at it is, with every project you do, what do you want to work on? Is it like, oh, for this one, I want to work on doing more interesting camera angles. For this one, I want to work on my writing. This one, I want to work on how I direct actors. And that really just completely changed how I approach filmmaking. It took so much pressure off of me of, this is this one thing I want to work on for this film. And maybe you don't love every part of the film, but just keep track of, did I do better on this one thing? And if not, how can I do better on that in the future? And I think that's a much better thing to focus on than be trying to make your first feature while in college.
And the through line of what you're describing, which is that you, every time you're like, I want to try something new, I want to challenge myself a little bit more. But the constant that needs to be, in my opinion, underlining the whole experience is that you want to make sure, if you're the producer, if you're the director, if you have a leadership position on this project that you are saying, I want to get this done, you want at the end of it, all of the people you collaborated with to feel like, hey, like, feel good about the experience. Filmmaking is hard. It is arduous. It is scary. It is tiring. It is long. And that is, to a certain extent, what kind of scared me away from the full set of production. And now I veered off into educational video because it felt a lot more within my wheelhouse. But they can be long days. They can be stressful days. And if at the end of your project, everyone hates each other and is mad at each other and annoyed, and especially if the film did not come out the way you wanted it to, that can be a lot of burned bridges. And to a certain extent, if you're going through these big magnum opus projects that you're not really like challenging yourselves in the small ways, everyone can just be really disappointed by the end. And that's just not a really, you want to set yourself up. We were talking about how I think failure being so important because then you learn from it. But the success, the only thing that you need to succeed is that everyone is at least a little bit like, it was a cool thing we did, or I learned something, or I got to know people, or I got fed some semi-nice lunch that someone made me, and I felt appreciated in that process. That is the most important thing, I think, when you're trying to network and collaborate with your other students.
Absolutely. And when you're making those projects too, it just, the days can get long and you can get frustrated and things will go wrong. And the easiest thing to just make it fun for yourself is make sure that you're doing it with people that you care about and you have fun with, and just trying to keep the environment fun and recognizing that you're learning and that's okay. So do you guys have any advice for current students or students who are joining the program?
I think I've said this before, but just to recap, and at the risk of sounding like a bit dramatic, you only live once. I can't say you're only at college once, because that's not necessarily true in this day and age, but put yourself out there, go to stuff. For example, I went to my first CineSpace this year, and I never went my freshman or sophomore year, and I wish I had, but I was always like, oh, I'm tired, or it's too far, but it was really fun to go to, so just go, like, don't burn yourself out, but like, at least go once, and like when I was a freshman, my rule to myself was like, hey, you have to go to all the orientation events, and you got to stay for 1 hour. If you don't like it, then you can leave. So I would tell people, go to all the stuff you're interested in, and if you don't like it, don't stay, but at least try, at least put yourself out there. You never know what opportunities and what people you're going to meet.
Yeah, I'll say my finale is something that I've been building to. If I were to construct like a perfect 4-year experience as a film major, and ultimately like to follow this exact plan would be far too unrealistic and you'd only set yourself up for disappointment. Idealistically, you'd come in as a freshman, you'd see something like GVTV or the Scriptwriting Club. I just want experience. I want to meet people. I want to practice. I want to make stuff. And you do that your freshman year. And then your sophomore year is, okay, I kind of want to like get better experience doing something a bit more advanced. Maybe I'll go work for The Bridge, which famously, like we like to hire freshmen and sophomore people who want to get their feet wet. And I could do maybe a year of that, get some experience. And the next step after that would be, oh, hey, I want to do maybe a little level up, maybe the promo office, maybe Caitlin, you went to WGVU, maybe you find like an internship, something really cool. That last step is really where it's, okay, what do I do next? And that's finding other professional Grand Rapids resources, production companies, to learn from them. Whether you get hired from them or receive an unpaid internship, the important thing is to understand Grand Valley is primarily based in West Michigan. We're based in Allendale and Grand Rapids and these other kind of sister cities. And it's important to know what's out there. But I'm going to read off, and if you have a pen and paper, if you're listening to this, look up the words Ideology Grand Rapids. That's a production company that's based in Ada. They do really great stuff. They have a pickleball court in their production studio. It's really annoying. They have that golden hour thing that The Mandalorian has. It's insane. Look up Taproot Productions. Look up Ingalls Production. Look up Salt Productions. Look up Gorilla. Look up Drop. Voyage. Lowing. Visionary. Motivity. These are places, this list might be a year old, so I don't know if any of them have gone out of business. I know at one point it had the production company called Black Pigeon on there. I'm seeing a message as well from Suzanne that says Brain Cell. Look up Brain Cell. There's a place called Black Pigeon that famously hired, I think, 30 unpaid interns at once who all just stood around and did nothing. Sometimes these might be negative experiences. They went under. But you need to know what is in the area, what professional work is being done. Most of this is commercial, medium-sized scales. They're not doing a whole lot of features unless sometimes they maybe come to visit. But knowing what they are, visiting them, seeing if there are any alumni there, reaching out and saying, hey, can I take a tour? Can I just see the place? Can I learn from you? Those are really great ways to get your foot in the door, to get your name out there. And especially if you want to graduate and if you want to stay in West Michigan, you're going to want to know ahead of time, hey, these are the places to go to. And you want to make sure that they at least a little bit know your name. And if you have all that experience from your classwork, from your extracurricular, from your student employment, you're going to be setting yourself up for success in what is famously a very competitive industry that we all got into. And that's really scary getting into, you know, my brother and my sister both were chemical engineers. They're fine. They have houses. They have dogs. They're doing great. But because I really wanted to make those 4 years count and get as much skills as possible and get as many connections as possible, I had a relatively like privileged and seamless transition. I'm really grateful for that. And if you want to have a similar experience, it is going to be a lot of, okay, then what do I do with these 4 years or more or less, however long you have, to really make them special and really transition into that next phase of your life.
And that a really good way to get into that is a lot of times Suzanne will very much be involved in this, but they will do like field trip Fridays where they'll go visit local companies. There's alumni present where they'll have alumni talk about different things. They had an AD one and a prop making one this past semester, and also career exploration trips. They went to LA last year and they're going to Chicago this year. So they're really getting you. These opportunities are really everywhere. You just have to look for them and take advantage of them. I think if there's one piece of advice I would say to anyone, is something I've always lived by of you just need like 15 seconds of insane bravery and just say yes and just try it. And whatever happens, you'll learn something, you'll make a mistake, maybe you'll get something good out of it, but just go for it. Thank you guys so much for talking with me. This has been very fun.
Oh my gosh, it was a pleasure.
Happy to be here.
Thank you for joining us for this episode of Alumni Live, the podcast. Subscribe to our podcast to hear more from our alumni across the industry. Check out Alumni Live on Facebook, Instagram, and YouTube for more conversations and networking. Let us know what topics you want to hear our alumni talk about. The Grand Valley State University Film Video Alumni Network is here for you, and we're glad that you're here. Thank you for listening.